This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Hey, here we go. It is. Yeah, The Drive. ESPN Radio 93.5. Good morning.
Good morning, Lon.
Got Brad Underwood audio coming up. Got a little NASCAR talk. Ryan Newman. That was scary, man. That was scary last night. Newman was in serious condition, not life-threatening. Thank goodness. You and I had just talked about what can happen at Daytona. Then we're going to do a little Illinois-Penn State. That game starts at like 5:30. So while we're on the air, and while we're on the air right now, let's don't waste time. Let's get it to get out to Happy Valley. Derek Piper's with us. How are you, Pipes?
Doing well, man. How are you doing?
Good. What, Ayo Dosunmu, is he out shooting hoop? Is he dunking? What's going on?
The players are slowly trickling out on the floor. We got Sevian Jones shooting jumpers, Georgie shooting free throws. Benjamin Bossman Verdonk is sitting on the bench with the boot, but no Ayo. He has not emerged from the locker room. He was one of the last ones to emerge against Rutgers, so I'm sure maybe even while we're talking right now, we'll find out if I was to go or not.
Doesn't he know we only have 5 minutes? Come on.
Exactly.
Hurry up.
And I know, right?
Hey, and you have
the beauty of live journalism.
Amen. And you have full permission to interrupt either one of us if Ayo walks out on that court in a uniform ready to go. So, all right, Illinois lost six straight. A guy named Derek Piper wrote this. They've lost six straight against Penn State. What? Is it that bad?
I guess so. Now that you've exercised some demons of the past by beating Wisconsin, you lost 15 in a row to them. You hadn't won it at Purdue in a long time. It had been since 2008. So now Penn State's really at the top of the list as far as who you got to beat to end that streak. So they've just been a bad matchup in recent years. When you think about their athleticism, their physicality, the first one you think of is Lamar Stevens at the four. Illinois has not had an answer for him throughout Lamar Stevens' career. He's never lost to Illinois. He's 5-0. So, yeah, your line is updating stats. Penn State's next on the list.
Right.
Derek, does Myron Jones being out again tonight affect Penn State's chances to win at all?
Yes, because he's a good player. He's a really good shooter. He shoots about 42% from three, and I think, if not mistaken, he's their second leading scorer. But at the same time, he's been out the last three games, and they continue to win. They won 8 in a row. In his absence, when they beat Northwestern and Purdue, this team hit 25 combined threes in the last two games.
Wow.
So, they have other guys that can clearly make shots, and this team can really score. But, of course, if Io's able to go and Myron Jones isn't, then I think, obviously, the injury bug tilts in your favor. But if Jones is out and Dosunmu's out, it's more of a wash and actually an advance for Penn State, to be honest with you.
At DPiper247, that's where you follow Derek, at DPiper247. So, Derek, for those Big Ten fans that haven't really watched Penn State and they're sitting here going, how is Penn State 20-5 and 10-4? What exactly do they do that's so good?
They score it. They score it at a clip that they have in recent years. They're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the Big Ten. Their offensive efficiency is really, really good. And you talked about earlier on this season that when they've struggled, they've just leaned too heavily on Lamar Stevens. Stevens has had to be put in a situation where he's taking 18, 20 shots. Pat Chambers has done a good job of putting pieces around him. Isaiah Brockington is one that comes off the bench. Myron Jones, no one knows who that was coming into this season. Jamari Wheeler can shoot the ball a little bit. Mike Watkins even comes off the bench. So they have some depth that they haven't in a while. Of course, they're still pretty physical. A team that's tough. Their defensive numbers aren't as great as they usually are. They're just outscoring people, again, which is something you're not seeing. They went to Purdue, and I think they dropped 88. So they're making shots. They're a load to guard, and they love to get out in transition. They're one of the top 20 teams in the country in fast break points. So they're looking to stop you, looking to get steals, and then they're going the other way in a hurry.
All right, Derek, last one. What's your prediction for who wins tonight?
I've got Penn State. This is with the assumption that Ayo doesn't play. I think Ayo's out for at least one more game, and again, we're going to probably find out here in the next 5 to 10 minutes if that's the case. But assuming Ayo's out, I think that Penn State is too tough, and it could be a blowout. It could get ugly, but I have 78-66 Penn State.
All right, that is Derek Piper. Derek, you text us if you see Ayo coming out shooting hoop.
I got you.
All right, buddy.
My first text.
All right, we will talk to you soon, Derek. Thank you, sir.
All Sounds good. Have a good show, guys.
All right. I appreciate that. That is Derek Piper, Illini Inquirer, of course, co-host of The Drive with Tay and Piper. He has been on an extended leave here at Rutgers.
That's right.
Now East at Coast, Penn State.
East Coast swing, yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to be in all week, in fact.
Correct.
So it's just you and I, and Isaac Ambrose is here today. We'll let Isaac talk a little bit about what he thinks of this Illinois-Penn State game tonight. Let me throw that to you. Isn't it funny? And I guess it's because it's funny how in your mind you can almost trick yourself. Like, to me, Penn State is a pretty good basketball program, but nothing great, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've never made the NCAA tournament under Pat Chambers. That's going to change this year. They last time they made it, I think, like, the Crispin brothers were running up and down the court.
It was 2010.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Ellis. Yeah, so a little bit after the Crispin brothers.
And we started our show in 2010, November of 2010.
Yeah, so basically as long as this show or this run of shows has existed, Penn State hasn't made the
tournament. They've never made the NCAA tournament, so they're going to make it this year. They're 20-5. They're ranked in the top 10 in the country.
They're ninth right now.
Oh, ninth.
Their highest ranking
ever. And they're 10-4, and you and I had them. Did we have them winning the Big Ten?
Yeah, well, the tricky part is, tricky part but good for Penn State, they played Maryland once this year and beat them.
Oh, that's right. So they have the tiebreaker.
And they don't play them again. So if you're Penn State, you're not even worrying about outright winning the Big Ten. You just got to keep pace with Maryland,
right,
and you win the Big Ten.
Right. What is going on in the name of whatever that Penn State and Rutgers and Maryland, three teams that weren't even part of the original Big Ten, are all up there winning the Big Ten? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, eventually the programs that are at the bottom find, not that Maryland was ever at the bottom.
No,
but
no.
I mean, you got to think that Penn State has been a decade. Illinois has been 6 years, right? Rutgers has been decades.
Yeah.
At some point, water has got to find its level, and then those teams eventually return, and they just all happen to be doing it at once.
Well, it is amazing that this team, because you look at them and you think to yourself, all right, they haven't made the tournament under Chambers, and now all of a sudden they're ranked ninth in the country, but they've got guys like Dredd, who's shooting just outrageously well from the outside.
Brockington.
Brockington's good off the bench. Mike Watkins, who's killed Illinois in the past. And like Derek said, and I think he said it perfectly, when you throw a guy like Lamar Stevens, who in his career has averaged around 15 points, 5 boards against Illinois, when you throw him in against these last few years of Illinois teams, he is exactly what Illinois never had.
Oh, for sure. That's why tonight is such a concern.
Big time.
Because he's probably arguably one of the best players in the country at his position, and that is the one position that Illinois has struggled to have depth with and guard.
Yeah, and if you put Watkins on the court, then you figure that Kofi has got to check Watkins.
Yep.
That leaves then either Allen, Georgie,
or DeMonte.
DeMonte, maybe.
That's not going to work.
To check Lamar Stevens, who with his strength. Now, Lamar Stevens is not just an inside guy. He can go outside. He can shoot. He likes to take the ball off the dribble, go hard to the hole. He's one of those guys that gets fouled a lot, gets to the free throw line a lot. So this could be a problem with Illinois trying to defend him. And if Georgie's not starting tonight, which I don't think is the plan, I think it's not going to be long before Brad Underwood has Georgie in the game. And almost to a fault of saying, we've got to have you on the court, and you've got to do a good job with Lamar. Now, that being said, that doesn't sound like a recipe for Illinois
to
win the game.
I mean, you need to put him in there strictly for size,
yes,
right? Because if you've got DeMonte or Allen on Stevens for most of the game, it's not going to work out in your favor. It may not work out anyways, like you say. I mean, while Georgie is taller and probably has better footwork, I don't really think you could say he's been anything near an elite defender this year.
Not at all.
Now, he has been pretty good against guys like Oturu. You saw him.
Yeah, he did.
At least, you know, if Stevens were to get anything like a 15-9 instead of a 25-15, I think you'd consider that almost a success.
Okay.
Right? Like Oturu against you, I think, had like 12 points and 8 rebounds.
Yeah, it wasn't horrible.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't outright he killed you.
Correct.
And I think the only way that you have any chance of winning this game is if you make sure that Stevens, you're not going to stop him, but if he doesn't kill you and Penn State has an off-shooting night, I think that's your only chance.
Brad Underwood, how would you stop Lamar Stevens?
Yeah, there's certain guys you can play great defense on, and they make shots. He's one of them. And he does it at an elite level. You've got to take away his easy points. You've got to take away his offensive rebound putbacks. You've got to take away his uncontested threes in transition. You've got to take those things away. And then make him shoot hard shots, knowing he's going to make some. And, you know, that's what really good players do. That's what next-level guys do. And He's been that for his whole career at Penn State.
That is Brad Underwood talking about how you stop Lamar Stevens. I thought he brought up an interesting point there. Stopping Stevens in transition. Illinois defensively at the transition game is one of the worst, if not the worst, in the Big Ten. They're not good at doing it. And a team like Penn State is going to want to do that. They're going to want to get the ball. Sure. They're going to want to go. And when you've got a guy like Lamar Stevens or Mike Watkins, two guys that can get 10 rebounds plus, then it's easy for the guards to just kind of say, all right, big boys have it. I'm going to start my flow down the other end. You hit me with the ball and let's go. But here's the key. Lamar Stevens can run. He's that four, the athletic four that can do a lot inside, but he can also get down. And he is more dangerous when he is on transition hitting a three than he is in a set play.
And he can pull up quickly, too.
Big time.
I mean, it's not like he's got Cowan speed.
Right. No.
But he gets that shot off pretty quick, and he's got pretty much unlimited, not unlimited range like Curry range.
Right.
But in terms of the court itself, inside, outside, he's just as deadly at either position. And like you said, when he isn't making a shot, he's getting fouled.
He is.
I mean, I feel like tonight you're going to see him drive a lot, and when he doesn't make the shot, he's probably going to get fouled.
It's pick your poison, right?
Do you
let Lamar Stevens have a look, or do you try to get up in his grill to where he then drives on you and gets whoever in foul trouble or whomever, whichever the proper grammar is. I've never figured that one out. And all of a sudden now he's at the line just getting freebies left and right.
I really think the only way Illinois wins tonight is if Penn State just has a terrible shooting performance.
Okay, and that's fair. Or if they can somehow slow transition. They've got to slow transition, but Penn State can hurt you in so many different ways. One of the guys we talked about, Georgie B, how big he'll be tonight, but it sounds like he'll be doing it off the bench. Brad Underwood chatted on that.
Yeah, that's what the intent was maybe not, be emotionally a little flatter, if that can be the case in his case, to start a game, let him see it, let him get a little feel for it and flow, and he liked that. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to go back in the starting lineup, or we'll continue to monitor that and visit with him about that. But I loved his effort. I thought he was a tremendous positive on Saturday. I thought it was, we got to get more shots. And his jump hook was falling, and we've got to continue to find ways to get him the ball down there.
So that is Georgie coming off the bench. And like Brad said, hey, it doesn't mean he's, handcuffed to the bench the rest of the year in terms of starting a game. And I know we put way too much emphasis on that. But the point is, Georgie will be coming off the bench. You assume then the starting lineup will include Alan Griffin. And if we assume that Io DeSunmu does not start, then your starting lineup would look like what? Kofi, Allen,
Felice,
Trent, and DeMonte.
Yep.
So that's what you would have to start the game.
I thought it was interesting they said he wanted to see flat, no emotion from Georgie.
Hmm.
That's what he said at the beginning there.
Isn't
he wanted
that funny?
Him to come out a little more flat because he's so emotional.
He is.
That it almost behooves him to come out flat. Although you almost never hear a coach say he wants a guy to come out flat, but for Georgie it kind of works.
Okay. Well, it'd be interesting to watch. Now, another guy that got a little bit of extended look against Rutgers was Tevian Jones, and Tevian Jones is the kind of guy that could play a big role in a game like this. What was the game that he played real well? That was Maryland.
Last year he went off against Maryland.
That's
yes.
Right. So it wasn't Penn State. I was in my mind, I was thinking Penn State, but certainly Tevian Jones is a guy that you really haven't gotten anything out of all year. So what would happen if he could do something tonight?
It was the first time he's had extended minutes. I think there were some positive plays. He ran down and blocked a shot. He got an offensive rebound or two. I think there's, as those minutes continue to settle in, we've got to find consistency on the defensive end. There's no doubt about that. And that's the, those continue to be areas that he's got to continue to grow in, not just the offensive. It's earned. It's earned. I don't care who you are. You've got to earn the right to be on the court, and there's a lot that goes into that. And he's keeps working his tail off, and that's growing, and he gets better every day. If he wasn't, I wouldn't play him. So his work ethic has been very, very consistent. It continues to get better, and now that you get long stints in games, you've got to be consistent. So, but I've been pleased with what he's been doing.
By the way, there's no rumor or there's no truth to the rumor that I'm the one in the background going, right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Nifty.
Now, see, the difference to me is when we're doing like a phone interview, it's okay for you to toss something in.
Yeah, because they don't see you, right?
Right. Whereas, like, if you're doing a one-on-one with on TV with someone and you're a reporter, one of my biggest bugaboos is when they keep, sure.
I used to do it.
Right. Yeah. Just let them talk.
I mean, they see you, like, looking at them.
It's kind of hard not to if you're making eye contact with someone who you respect and they're giving you an answer and they're nodding at you. It's hard to not vocally give feedback, like, okay, yes. But you just got to learn to be silent when you do it.
I agree. Because if, like, Ambrose, who's in the other room, will join us. Like, if he was talking to us right now, we could look at him, and he would understand that we're listening to him. But if he was on the phone, and I asked him a question, and then you and I just turned our mics off, went and got water, then he's not going to know if we're even paying attention to him. That's why every once in a while I'm like, sure.
We don't do that. But
right. Well, I've done that before.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't going
to
out
you.
Fine. Okay. Lon does do that. So Tevian played 22 minutes against Rutgers.
Okay, what was the final line?
For him in that game, he played 22 minutes. He scored 6 points, went 2 of 7 from deep. I don't like that he took 7 of them, but he made 2 of them.
He's not shy, is he?
No, he got 3 rebounds and 2 fouls. So my point in a block, that chase down block at the end of the half.
Oh, that's right.
If you take out the, and I hate to do a stat where I say if you take out, but if you take out.
Are you going Weber here on us?
That was Beckman.
Or no, I'm sorry, Beckman. Yeah, you're going Beckman.
If you take out the road game at Michigan State, and here's why. He played 12 minutes in that game, but they were all garbage minutes at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. I don't really think he earned playing time in that game. He just happened to play because you were down 30.
Right.
So if you take out those 12 minutes, add up the rest of his minutes from this year, he had more minutes in the Rutgers game than he did the rest of the year combined so far. Because remember, he didn't play until December 14th against Old Dominion. And he had, what, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. That's less than the 22 minutes he played against Rutgers.
I mean, he would come in, do something, and then be completely taken right out.
And I'm sure some of those one-minute stretches were less than a minute, but you can't say that he was in for 22 seconds, so they put 1 minute down.
Wow.
So the point is he played more this past Saturday than he did the rest of the season combined.
Here's what we know. That said, not about Tevian, but about this Illinois team. They've lost 4 in a row. And against a Penn State team, you've got to be good defensively. You have to be good defensively to try to slow these Nittany Lions down. And that was certainly something that Illinois did not show in the first of this two-game swing out east against Rutgers, according to Brad.
We can talk all we want about the offensive end, the defensive end, the transition. All of that was very poor. By far and away, the worst execution on that end of the court we've had all year. And so that's something we've talked a great deal about. And, you know, obviously, I don't care who you are. You miss your alpha. You miss your leader, your guy. I don't care what team you are. And you go on the road and you play a top-half team in this league, you're going to lose. And you know, that was a challenge. I thought our kids fought. I thought Kofi had by far and away his best half of play in the first half. His aggressiveness was off the chart. We made some plays that that kept us in it, but way too many mistakes in transition, and that was bugging.
Yeah, and with Geo Baker, with Harper, a lot of those guys knocking down shots. I don't think they hit the rim. I said that yesterday. They were shooting the ball especially well, but a lot of that is the fact that Illinois' defense was not especially good. On the other side, Illinois' offense wasn't that great either.
No,
right, Brad?
We got great looks. We knew exactly where to throw the ball. You know, you start looking at Tev Allen's, you know, Trent's opportunities and threes, and most all of them are wide open, and you know, got to make them. And that gets compounded when you're not scoring. And then the second half, we had 4 or 5 what I call casual turnovers. You know, Allen traveled a couple times. Kofi had the ball taken from him a couple times. And those things can't happen on the road to win. So it wasn't there as much anything in their defense with or without Io. We just we weren't good enough on the defensive side.
That is Brad Underwood as he gets ready for the game at Penn State tonight. Derek Piper, that he is at Happy Valley. Talk to him to start the hour. Trevor Valise, you're here next to me, but you've heard something from Happy Valley. Does it make Illinois fans happy?
Yes.
Oh?
Io DeSumo is in uniform.
Oh.
And out on the court for warm-ups.
But we don't know.
This is from Scott Ritchie from the News Gazette. He says, doesn't 100% guarantee he'll play, of course, but the fact that he's dressed is certainly a positive sign.
Certainly, because he was not dressed for the game against Rutgers, correct? So that is a little bit of a positive sign. We'll see if he plays and how much he would play. What kind of a...
I honestly don't love it unless he's 100%.
Yeah, and I don't think they would play him unless he's 100%.
Sure, no, I just mean like red herring Io for 5 minutes on a road game where you might get killed anyways doesn't really seem like a smart strategy to me. So I would hope that if he's going to play tonight, he would actually legitimately be starting and playing normal minutes.
Yep. This isn't last game of the year, win gets you in the Big Ten, into the NCAA tournament kind of thing. No. I think there's plenty of time left in this season.
I mean, it's big because you've lost four in a row.
Sure.
But I agree with you.
So I don't think there's going to be any kind of push to get Io on the court unless the trainers, unless the doctors, unless Brad and that staff is completely set mentally on the fact that he is good to go.
Well, how stupid would you feel if Penn State came out and won by 20 and then Io got hurt again?
No,
right? I mean, that doesn't make sense.
Big time. Well, we're going to find this out soon. Game tips off, around 5:25, 5:30?
An hour from now.
And it's on Fox Sports 1. And the interesting thing about that is not just the fact that my mom gets to watch it in Florida because she doesn't get the Big Ten Network down there, nor will she go to a bar. I'm like, Mom, just head to a bar. She's like, I'm not going to a bar.
Dan's not going to a bar.
She's like, I'm not you. So I'm like, all right. So she does get to watch the game tonight. And what's going to be interesting tonight, or interesting, is that it's called the All Access Broadcast. Do you have just like a snippet?
Yeah, so I typed in FS1 All Access. The last time they did this was a week ago, PC left, when Butler played Xavier, I believe, and they mic'd up both coaches. Are you getting anything?
Oh, there we go.
So this is on the actual broadcast. This is the coaches talking before the game.
Did you hit the lottery with me today? I'm like Mr. Rogers.
And you know they're hamming it up.
This is the coach talking to the ref.
I don't think I'm as nervous as Kevin is.
So this is stuff
like to be right now.
You're hearing during the game.
Okay.
Now, I don't think it's going to be live. Like, I don't think they're literally going to go, we cut to Brad Underwood now talking to the ref.
Right.
Because that's a discussion that you probably would not be able to have on live TV. But it seems like, you know, they'll talk for a second, say, boy, what a game. Now, here's what Brad Underwood said 30 seconds ago in the huddle.
Let's be honest. You know that you're mic'd up. So you know.
Well, they asked the coaches before the season if they were okay with doing this. And I'm sure from a PR perspective, if you're Illinois and Penn State and you're trying to look good and you're on national TV before this season, a big season for both programs, you probably want to gain some attention, whether that's look what Brad Underwood said in the huddle just now that was funny or angering or whatever it may be.
Well, you got a couple of intense coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, Pat Chambers can get it. Am I saying it right, Pat? Why am I thinking somebody else when I say Pat? I'm thinking of the old 76ers GM back in the day. But anyway, or Orlando Magic GM. Did the Orlando Magic have a GM, Pat Chambers? Isaac, can you effort that? I'm going to let Isaac effort that.
Okay, all right.
But anyway, Pat Chambers, he can be pretty full bore.
Sure.
And we know that Brad Underwood can get to a level of red, which means there's probably some interesting words coming out.
I've heard him sitting in row one down there in the crush a few times. It's pretty funny.
So I'm assuming that Brad's wife was like, you need to cut the potty mouth tonight and make sure that you're doing well in terms of not just running or, you know, just throwing things out there that shouldn't
be heard. I mean, there's a little bit of an XFL element here, right?
Big time.
Where they're mic'd up live. And I'm a sucker for that stuff.
I love it.
The clip that came out with the Mets and they had the umpire mic'd up. And
yes.
He was talking to the manager who was just going off with expletives. I like that because I'm interested to see.
Yep.
Because you never hear that stuff.
Well, how about the All-Star Baseball, Major League Baseball
Same
All-Star
when they were interviewing the players during the game?
Like Mike Trout in the center field. He's like, oh, man, he hammered that.
I understand the reluctance to do it for a game that matters.
I agree.
So this is pretty much actually, if you think about it, as cool as it gets in terms of being mic'd up for something that really matters, because mostly it's either All-Star events or the XFL, which I'm not saying the XFL doesn't matter, but come on.
No.
It doesn't matter to the same extent that an NFL game would.
They need that. The XFL relies on that. And it's
Big Ten doesn't need this.
It's not Illinois and Quinnipiac or... You know, I mean, so it's actually a game that matters.
Is that how you say that?
Quinnipiac?
I don't know.
I think it's Quinnipiac.
Okay.
Isaac, you got anything on that?
Pat Williams, possibly.
Pat
what you're thinking
Williams.
Of. Motivational speaker. And
can we get him on?
Senior vice president back in the day for the Orlando Magic.
Okay, and I think he was with the Sixers a little bit, too.
Yeah, he's been with, like, five different teams.
I think basically just the only similarity was they were both named Pat.
That's right.
Two Pats.
And there was one on Saturday Night Live called Pat. I think Pat Williams actually had made the first draft pick ever in Orlando.
I think it was Penny.
Yeah, probably.
Was that right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Look.
We're gonna
maybe
find
he
out
said at some point the Magic thank you for not smoking
the Sixers on the spectrum. Well, here's what Brad Underwood thought about this all access.
I've not figured out if this is a good thing or not yet, but you know, I think it's great for the fans. I think they get a little insight as to what we go through. I'm probably glad there's a 5-second delay, you know, in some areas. But, yeah, it'll be a different experience, and you'll find out how much we do on the sidelines in terms of the emotions of the game and the calls and so on and so forth.
I think what's cool about it is that Brad Underwood is going to go into that game knowing he's mic'd up. So his pregame speech might have a little more flair to it, might have a little more coolness to it. He's probably sitting there right now doing his best Herb Brooks saying, how am I going to do that?
I hope not. Because I'm not one for hamming it up.
9 out of 10 times the Russians might beat you, but not tonight. But, you know, I'm sure he's gonna ramp that up a little bit. I have a feeling, though, once this game gets rolling, he's going to forget all about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if this is like a close game with 3 minutes to go.
He could care less about the microphone.
A play, I guarantee you he's not thinking about the microphone.
Yep. By the way, we have a 7-second dump button here.
It's 7 seconds.
So if anybody calls or if Lon would ever accidentally
once.
Do something wrong.
Once.
One time.
You're talking about traffic.
That's right.
And you used a bad word.
I did, and I dumped myself, which was handy. And we missed it against Sijanovic back in the day.
Well, no, you missed it, but Jeremy said...
You
decided to hold, and I actually like it. I'm not blaming Jeremy for it.
If you could have seen both of our eyes when it first happened, because we'd been on the air for, what, 3 years, and we'd never even had to. And I looked at Jeremy, he looked at me, I'm like, should I hit it?
I think it lended to the moment, though, because it was part of that context of the interview, how upset he was.
I agree.
It wasn't like the three of us were just in here talking about Illinois losing, and we were just dropping F-bombs.
Or traffic. But that gets me riled up about as much as anything.
Traffic. It does, really, especially left lane.
Oh,
right
people.
Lane.
There's somebody right now driving in the left lane that should not be in the left lane. In fact, they're going to pass us here in about 2 seconds on Windsor. I just guarantee you, if you don't need to turn for 4 miles, then get in the right lane. It's just that simple.
And that's the reasoning, right? If you ask someone, why are they going slow in the left lane?
Well, because I'm on Windsor and I've got to turn when I get to Mount Pulaski. Yeah, and it's like, you don't have to turn for 38 miles. Oh, I get so mad.
You get on the highway to go to Chicago. You stay in the right lane the entire time. Well, I got to get off.
Well, listen, the right lane now is the fast lane. So that's why I drive in the right lane.
Only time that I really get going is when there's two trucks that are going the same speed.
Yeah,
one decides that because he's going 75 instead of 74, he's going to pass the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Both lanes are then clogged, and it's like,
I know.
Come on.
And I'm one of those that as I pass you on the right side, I give you the look. I give you the look, and then I don't curse. I don't do any of that. But I just give you,
just
you the
need
look.
Them to know that they've done something wrong.
And then I give the shake of the head. Just like you can't be shamed any worse than that. Do you know what you're doing? You do, don't you?
They might
and I
not.
Just shake my hand. All right, Isaac, what have we found out about the Orlando Magic? I know everybody's waiting.
I was going to say that it actually is kind of crazy because this comes back to the world of the Illini.
Nick Anderson.
1989, Nick Anderson was the first player drafted by the Orlando Magic.
Boom.
Ever in franchise history.
Is that great? That's awesome, isn't it?
Interesting.
He was like the 8th pick?
He was the 11th
pick. 11th pick. Nick Anderson, first pick ever.
First pick ever by the Orlando Magic.
And, of course, he missed those free throws in game one of that finals
That's
against
right.
the Rockets,
That's
right?
That's right. Yeah.
And then if, you know, they would have won that game basically if he just would have made one.
I prefer to think of his collegiate career.
Yeah, he was really good.
Bobby Knight walking off.
Oh, that was the best.
I watched that video the other day again of when Ted Valentine throws him out in that other game.
Yes.
And Ted's just standing there like this on the other end of the court. And Bobby walks all the way across him and right past him. I looked for you. I didn't see you.
You didn't see me. He flinches, man.
Yeah, he does.
He flinches. And I'm like, oh, Knight, you're such a bully. All right, Isaac, thank you for that. We're going to get your take on this Illinois-Penn State game as we go along. We've had a kind of a heavy segment, but we wanted to do that because we wanted to get Brad Underwood's thoughts out there on this game. And we also, of course, spoke with Derek Piper. When we come back, Daytona 500 had quite the ending.
It was wild. We got off the air right before it happened.
Wow. It started, about 2:30 on Sunday because it was delayed 13 minutes because President Trump was there. So it started late. Then, of course, it only got like 20 laps in. And then, of course, yesterday, they finally ended it, and it's the longest Daytona 500 ever in terms of laps.
Sure.
And they finally had a winner, and that was Denny Hamlin, who won it back-to-back now. Hamlin was incredible, but as they came down the stretch, then, of course, Ryan Newman had the lead, and Ryan Blaney, I believe, accidentally bumped him.
With like half a lap to go. There wasn't much more of a stretch to go before he won it.
No, and he pushed him up past Hamlin into the wall. Hamlin somehow avoids him. And then while everything's going on with Ryan Newman's car, because it goes into the wall, it goes airborne, it lands on its roof. Side and roof, essentially. And then another driver, and his name's escaping me right now, I apologize, comes along and smokes the car, and there's nothing he could do going 200 miles an hour.
I mean, you're a sitting duck upside down
big time
on a racetrack on fire. I mean, that...
Yeah, and Newman skidded across the line in fourth place with sparks flying everywhere.
That he actually almost placed.
Yeah, he did.
It's easier to joke about it now that we know he's somewhat okay. But I thought, how the heck did he end up almost finishing on the top three?
And Hamlin somehow gets the win at the end, back-to-back for Denny Hamlin at Daytona 500. Pretty cool. When we come back, we'll get an update on Ryan Newman, and we'll also listen to the final lap of that, in case you didn't get a chance.
Audio. You can also find us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just search at The Drive 93.5, or podcast on all platforms. Find us on tayandpiper.podbean.com, espncu.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can watch us on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5. And from Derek Piper just moments ago, the Illini say Io is warming up. If he continues to respond well, he's a go.
Okay. LaJoy. Thank you, Lucas. That was LaJoy that hit Ryan Newman when he was on his roof. So, it was a scary, scary thing. All right. Weigh in 359-2255. That's 359-2255. Much needed break. Back with a little Daytona 500 chatter just for a minute. And then we'll go back to talking Illinois and Penn State. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Hi, Ellen Hoke here, owner of your local Ashley Home Store. Our President's Day sale has been extended. Save up to 30% off or get 0% interest for 6 whole years with no minimum purchase. Plus, for a limited time, everything ships locally for free. Whether you're updating one room or the whole house, we want you to save big this President's Day. We'll see you at Ashley Home Store. Located at 602 West Anthony Drive, Champaign. Shop and save today on all furniture and mattresses at your local Ashley Home Store. This is home.
Your grandparents bought countertops from his grandfather. Your parents bought countertops from his father. You can buy countertops from him, and your children will be able to buy countertops from his children. Luther Falls has always been here, and they always will be, because they're simply the best at fabricating quartz and granite countertops. I'm Jay Lehman, and that's why I use Luther Falls for my own kitchen countertops. They have the best prices and the best quality from their family to yours. Luther Falls Custom Kitchens, 2706 North Mattis in Champaign, or online at lutherfalls.com.
Financing now available.
You had a dream of opening your business, and you took a risk to build it. At Busey, we understand your goals and dreams continue to evolve as you position your business for growth, look towards retirement, and plan for future generations. Achieve your dreams. Busey is here to help. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of our many convenient locations for solutions to your banking and wealth management needs. Busey, your dream, our promise. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, it's Shane from Rosati's. I like to feel special. I'm guessing you like to feel special too. So come to Rosati's, because every Monday through Friday, we're serving up a different special. Start your week off on Monday with deep dish slices. Tuesday, it's all about the meat. Wednesday, grab some Italian beef. And Thursday, you can get a chicken sandwich, grilled or fried, buffalo if you like, your choice. And Friday, it's always our homemade chicken, and you can always grab your favorite pizza every day of the week. So come to Rosati's, 701 South Gregory in Urbana, and feel special.
It's all about the best beef, the best pork, and of course,
the sausages
at the U of I Meat Sales Room. If Coach Ditka lived in CU, I'm sure he'd buy his meat from the U of I Meat Sales Room. The beef is great, the pork is great, but
the sausages
are delicious. Smoked sausage, Italian sausage, Polish sausage, and even brats. It's all fresh, locally produced, and locally grown. Visit the U of I Meat Sales Room near the corner of Lincoln and Florida in Urbana.
Sausages.
Hi, this is Vanessa Duncan with Special Olympics Illinois Region I, inviting you to take the 21st annual Law Enforcement Torch Run Polar Plunge and or Dona Dash 5K Saturday, March 21st at the Lake of the Woods in Mahomet. Plungers raise $100 in donations, while Dona Dashers pay a $30 registration fee. All proceeds benefit Special Olympics Illinois Region I. Register today at plungeillinois.com and be bold, get cold. Our 21st year on March 21st in Mahomet. Get involved now and visit plungeillinois.com.
Hey, it's Stevie J. I've been using the corporate apparel from Game Day. They've been making these Stevie J broadcasting button downs, and I love them. And I just got two new in today, and the staff's excited because I don't have to wear the same shirt. So very excited for the repertoire change and all these fabulous corporate apparel shirts from Game Day. If you want a quote, I would suggest you email them, sales@gamedayspirit.com, sales@gamedayspirit.com. It's high quality. It's great stuff. You'll love it. Corporate apparel from Game Day Spirit.
Brighten that special someone's day with a beautiful and ornate floral creation from the Blossom Basket Florist. From simple to simply magnificent, flowers are always an affordable and thoughtful gift for every occasion. Stop by the Blossom Basket Florist with two locations to better serve you.
In Urbana at 1002 North Cunningham Avenue and the Village at the Crossing corner of Windsor and Duncan Roads in Champaign.
We turn your feelings into flowers. The Blossom Basket Florist.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
No. You?
Really?
At Cam's?
No.
That was early in the day. Yeah, that was a good day. We hit about 18 establishments. That was a while ago, though.
Wow.
All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Trevor Valise, Derek Piper out east at Penn State.
So just to recap, Derek says that the official word from the Illini is that if Io continues to respond well in shoot-around, he will go tonight.
Oh, so he's shooting around to see how he feels.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Which, can we just zoom out and talk about how incredible that is?
No doubt.
A week ago today.
Yeah.
We were, a little bit later in the evening, but a week ago from 4 hours from now, I was sitting there thinking that's the last time I'll ever see Io.
Ugh.
He just tore his ACL, this, that, and the other thing. And less than 7 days later, if you had told me at that moment that he might be playing,
it's crazy. Impossible.
It's crazy.
Impossible. And Illinois fans are geared, and I lead the pack, in thinking pessimistically.
Sure.
If that's a word, pessimistically. Yeah.
But this is the optimistic end of the optimistic prognosis.
Right. This so, is so as like, good
first,
as you get.
At first, we were hoping that it would just be like maybe 2 months instead of nine so that he'd be okay. Then you get the word that it is the injury that might take up to 2 months instead of nine, and he's back in a week?
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the optimistic end of the optimistic prognosis of the injury.
I want you and Isaac Ambrose to be fully transparent right now. When that happened, when that game against Michigan State happened at the end, and Io slips, what was your thoughts going through your mind? How quick? I'll start with you, Isaac. How quick? Well, no, I'll start with me so it opens the gate.
Of course.
Right. Well, because I want you to know that you can be bad about it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I gotcha.
So as that game's ending, and of course, I'm already upset that we don't do any kind of a box out on Xavier Tillman. I'm already upset in my mind, and this is how I am as a fan, and I hate it, and I've explained this 100 times. Of course the ball would fly off the backboard just right to Tillman for a dunk, and of course we have nobody there to box out. And then I had this sinking gut feeling of we're going to lose this game. And then I've got Io trekking down the court, and I'm like, well, now hold on. Although it was reminiscent to me of the Miami game. For some reason, I think it was because he was to the right side of the court. So all of this is going through my head at one time. And then all of a sudden he slips. And of course, I don't realize how bad he slipped. And I'm like, ah! And so I'm immediately just really mad. And then they show the replay. And immediately, I don't want to say, I'm not going to just act like I'm the best fan in the world and immediately just say, oh, at that point, I didn't care anything about the game. I only worried about Io. No, I still had a percentage of me that was just ticked off that Illinois just lost to Michigan State. But then part of me was like, okay, what is now going to happen? And where I went immediately was, he's out for the year. Are you kidding me? Like, what else could go wrong in this last 10
seconds?
7 seconds,
yeah.
Okay, so Isaac, where was your, was it similar to that?
No, well, yeah, I was at the game, but I was catacorner from where it happened up in the 200 level, and I was actually...
What a great word, catacorner.
I think that's the proper
I think that is correct.
It's a wonderful word.
I was actually with my buddy who came with me to the Miami game,
and the first thing I said,
it was my mom's birthday, so I was trying to tone it down. My mom was there, too. I looked him dead in the eyes and said, that's the same effing thing that happened against Miami.
And toning it down around your mom. I like that.
Since I was so far away, though, I couldn't tell that Io had gotten hurt.
Right.
All I saw was I think it was Aaron Henry chucked the ball down the court, and I was like, oh, Io turned it over, you know?
Yep.
And I was frustrated because when Io got that ball with 6 seconds left, even though we didn't box out Tillman, I was like, he's going to make it.
Oh, I know.
And then when he goes down like that, and then you see the replay again, in my mind, I was frustrated, but instantly I was like, Io's career could potentially be like in harm. And
how did you see the replay though?
On Twitter, and my other buddy was actually like, dang, he I think just twisted his knee up pretty bad.
Okay. So you were able pretty instantly to see.
Well, and then I saw him getting dragged off the court and stuff, and it was just scary. So it instantly went from, you know, joy I was gonna make it to here we go, his career is gonna be in danger and we could potentially lose a bunch more games.
And eventually, honestly, I had a split. This is where I do shine a little bit. I had a split second of, you got to be kidding me. Like, our season is done. And then I immediately was like, oh, Lord, his NBA career could be done.
Sure.
Well, immediately I went to that. I was like, oh, I mean, so I was selfish fan, and then immediately I was like, oh, no.
Well, the fact that Io came back for us, too, I mean, he didn't have to.
No.
He could have gone to the league, and who knows, he might have been in the G League or whatever.
Point.
But
that's a great point.
Why would he come back, right? I mean, if you've got a good chance of hopefully he knows that he doesn't have a good chance of reactivating it.
Well, he meant coming back this year.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
He had the money locked up. Yeah. Like, he would have gone to the NBA, made a couple million dollars right away, but he wanted to come back and be the legend.
Yeah,
that took us to the tournament.
All right, Trevor. I know you sat desolate outside of State Farm Center
for like
5 minutes.
Well, first I sat inside until as long as I possibly could. And this sounds very like self-serving and dramatic, like I'm on a reality TV show, but I'm just telling you what happened.
Did an usher finally have to come down and say,
no,
go?
But I just sat there with my mouth open for like 5 minutes. You know that stupid country song they play after every game? I don't know what it is that they play. You don't know because you're never there. For whatever reason. After every game, they just play some random like country song. I don't know what it is. I'm sure someone does.
Gonna take my horse down the hometown road.
Not that.
To the motel.
I just sat there with my mouth open. And there was one other thing I noticed on that possession that I don't think anybody has even talked about. Cassius Winston lost his shoe.
He did?
And he's guarding Io.
I didn't know that.
He's holding his shoe in his hand.
While he's guarding him?
While he's guarding Io on that play.
Why would you not discard the shoe?
Go back and look at it. He's holding his shoe in his hand.
That's weird.
So within 7 seconds, really 10 seconds, Tillman makes the dunk, which is like, deflating. Everybody falls down. Then you realize there's 7 seconds left and Io's got the ball. So, of course, you at least feel okay about your chances
now. Yeah.
So you stand back up. I see Winston holding a shoe, and I'm like, go. Your defender is distracted because he's got a shoe in his hand, and then he's down. And it's just, that was legitimately the worst 7 seconds of my sports fandom life.
I love our listeners. Andy just said the song is Illinois by Brett Eldridge.
Well, that makes sense.
Eldridge.
Thank you.
Who is, by the way, worth $121 million, according to Wikipedia. You can call me, Sal said. My dad used to say cattywampus. I think it meant directly across from.
Why don't we just say parallel?
Catty corner.
Catty corner.
How would you spell catty corner?
I don't know that it's one word. It might just be two words hyphenated.
Is that a slang word in English, or is that an actual word?
You can either say kitty corner or catty corner.
Catty.
And there's a hyphen in between catty and corner. So it's not like catacorner, like one word.
So K-A-T-T-Y?
C-A-T-T-Y dash corner.
Catty corner.
It is something that is arranged diagonally from the thing you're talking about.
So there you go.
The one thing I learned in college.
Well, I'm going to teach you one other thing. Don't ever say particularly on the air.
Particularly.
It's the hardest
particularly.
Word. It takes you 5 seconds to say it.
That is a tough one to say.
So catacorner.
It looks like it comes from the French word quatre, which is four, as the prefix to corner. So if you're saying there's four corners and they're diagonal from each other, it's quatre corner, catacorner.
And when you said that, now I'm thinking Quattro's Pizza in Carbondale, and now I'm hungry.
And there you go.
Thanks a lot. All right. Let's get serious for a moment. Ryan Newman, serious crash yesterday at Daytona 500. This is what the last lap sounded.
Oh, this thing's not over yet. Not at all.
Ryan Newman off turn four for the final time. Blaney to the outside, to the inside. Here comes Hamlin up the outside.
Wow.
Crash into the wall, into the air goes Newman.
Upside down.
In a shower of sparks on his roof. Ryan Newman comes across the line, fourth, and comes to rest, scoring unofficial between Hamlin and Blaney as far as who crossed the finish line first.
I'm gonna fade this, I'm gonna play it one more time, and I want you to hear what happens. Jeff Gordon immediately, and I know sometimes as the color guy, you gotta get out of the way. But Jeff Gordon immediately, when he says upside down, immediately could care less about the race. And Mike Joy, who's really good, he immediately just could not. I mean, he was flustered. They were both flustered by Ryan Newman's wreck. I promise you. Because if you hear Jeff Gordon says upside down and then you don't hear him again.
Oh, this thing's not over yet. Not at all.
Ryan Newman off turn four for the final time. Blaney to the outside, to the inside. Here comes Hamlin up the outside.
Wow.
Crash into the wall, into the air goes Newman.
Upside down.
In a shower of
sparks. You can just tell it's bugging him.
Roof.
Yeah.
Ryan Newman
and now
comes
nothing from Gordon, and Joy is just trying to figure out what to say because they're all like
to rest.
Panicked about Ryan Newman. So Ryan Newman,
scoring.
How is he doing? This was from ESPN earlier today. By the way, highlights courtesy of Fox.
Last night was the best update possible, which is the scenario we all feared was not what it was. And so you heard that just a second ago from Steve O'Donnell, Vice President of NASCAR, who said non-life-threatening injuries. I actually just chatted. I'm here at Halifax Health, the hospital right across the street from Daytona National Speedway, and I chatted with some of the executives from Roush Fenway Racing just a few seconds ago as they arrived here at the hospital, and I don't think there's going to be any updates today. Now it's just a wait and see to see exactly what all they're dealing with. But the good news is that Ryan Newman is still with us, and if I'm being 100% honest, I've been coming to this is my 25th Daytona 500, and if I'm being honest with you guys, last night I thought I was going to be delivering very bad news, and that was not the case.
That is Ryan McGee, who does the show with Marty Smith on Sunday mornings on ESPN. They talk a lot of racing. Ryan McGee is a guy that covers a lot of the racing. Marty Smith kind of used to do that for ESPN, and then he went into more of a college football role. By the way, I mentioned this the other day. I just got his book, Never Settle, by Marty Smith. Really, I'm about halfway through it. Really good book. Really good book, but that's scary when you hear Ryan McGee say that we thought there'd be bad news. And you know, when that crash happened, and again, it takes away just, an incredible race, takes away an incredible finish. The big one happened with about 15 laps to go or 10 laps to go. Denny Hamlin wins back-to-back on what is the second closest finish of a Daytona 500. So many cool things that happened there, but when you see Ryan Newman just skidding essentially on his side and slash roof, and there's sparks flying everywhere. I mean,
then it burst into flames.
Right. My first thought was, where are these sparks? I know he's got a helmet on, but I'm like, are these sparks just like all
he's upside down? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you imagine it's almost like his head is scraping the ground. I mean, it's
crazy.
Not on the ground, but of course, but if the roof is on the pavement and that's the part that's getting banged up, his head is almost connected to the roof.
It's scary.
And there's not a lot of wiggle room in those cars.
No. And then like you said, His car burst in flames for a minute and then kind of went out. And, of course, you can watch it. You probably didn't watch it close enough during Daytona, but there are tons of fire trucks down there on the airfield. So, I mean,
I was just waiting for him to pop out.
Yes.
And the fact that he didn't.
Yeah.
I've watched like two NASCAR races in my life. So I'm sitting here talking like I'm some expert or something. But I was waiting for him to at least, like, I don't know, stick his hand out or something. But you never saw him get out.
No, and Fox didn't show him being removed. They got out there, they put black tarp up around him to see that. So it was crazy. Kevin just texted in. That was frightening. Officially, Newman ended up ninth. I'm glad he's okay. When he didn't get out of the car, the announcers were quiet. I thought he was gone. I thought with the technology today that he would still be, have a fighting chance, which he obviously has, which is great.
I don't see how. Because if you think about it, if you remove the NASCAR aspect of this crash, of this context, no one could survive that if that happened on the street somewhere, right?
Like,
if you were watching out here and someone flipped over, slid, and exploded into flames, your immediate reaction would be, well, that person is unfortunately probably passed away. But whether it's the protection of a suit, the car, whatever it may be,
everything, the
fact that he's probably more experienced in that type of situation than an average driver would
be. Very true.
We're lucky that he's still here for
crazy.
Sure.
Crazy. What's even weird is that you and I yesterday talked a little bit about
Dale
Earnhardt and when that happened in 2001, and I was working at WAND and immediately went out and kind of got, off the street interviews with people about the reaction to Dale Earnhardt. But also we were talking about how safety, and, Jeff Gordon said it best as they closed the Daytona 500. And I'm not going to repeat this exactly what he said, but he essentially is, in a sport that has come a long way in safety. This is still a reminder of how dangerous of a sport it is.
Right.
You're going 200 miles an hour. And I'll be frank, when LaJoy slammed into him when he was already on his roof, that's where I thought that could be really bad. I mean, it's one thing to get slammed into from behind, but when you're coming up, you're already on your roof and you're facing the car, and it's like, oh, no. So, but thankfully, not life-threatening. We don't really have any more updates on Ryan Newman, a kid that got his engineering degree from Purdue. Well, that's the other thing we talked about.
Yeah.
We talked all about Ryan Newman and a guy that was that close to winning the Daytona 500. And, of course, now
talking about a bad 7 seconds.
Oh, man.
From winning the Daytona to being in life-threatening condition.
Crazy. And all the drivers, of course, after that race were, our thoughts are with Ryan.
Sure. And I think they caught some initial flack, Hamlin's team, for, celebrating. But then they came out and said they didn't realize the severity of it.
They didn't know.
I mean, obviously, Denny was in the car. He didn't see behind him.
Right.
He just navigated his way through and then, started celebrating. So.
It's crazy. Well, it was an incredible race, Daytona 500, man. It is always something to talk about and something to remember. Year in, year out, it seems like it gives us something to remember each time. All right, when we come back next hour, a little drive time. Nick Markakis went all Lante.
You said exactly what you said last week about the Astros.
So we're going to talk about that. Also, an all-pro quarterback decides he's going to play one more year.
I mean, he didn't officially say one more year. The phrasing was, let's have one last run at it.
Okay, so who is that? Well, we'll talk to you about that. And I'll randomly have Isaac Ambrose look up random things next hour like I did this hour with Nick Anderson being the first pick ever by the Orlando Magic and Pat Williams being the GM that did the pick. And we'll do a little Illinois-Penn State. We'll get you ready for that. That game tips off in about a half hour. Lani. Oh, and Io's dressed. Well, we'll try to let you know if he's going to play when we come back. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.